Blog Talk Radio.
No, my.
say, you can call me Buddy Coleman.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Sports In Depth, Block Talk Radio, and the Trust in God Radio Network. Oh, the weather was summer-like last night, but when the smoke cleared, Crimson Tide and once again rolled through Alabama, way Sherman did Atlanta. Second time, Alabama has lost in their second straight meeting. Crimson Tide. They are the champs, 15-0, first time ever. 15-0 champion, that's because of the college playoffs. Now, I like Coach Nick Saban. He went back and took all the fault. Boston said, in sports, coaches don't win games, they lose them. Most times, they do. Sometimes they just simply lose. Wow. Wild card weekend. How about them Cowboys? The Colts keep riding on. Chargers charge into New England, and they're getting a tight end back, but there's a lot of questions about that game. Danny Football's going to join us. We're going to talk pink skin, baby, NFL and college and high school. Yeah. And the world champions of football. 1 point win. Doesn't matter if you win by 1 or 200, it's a W. It was somebody, heard all the people talk about, well, you know, wow, after the Bears beat Minnesota, put the Eagles in the playoff, look how they repaid them. Hey, it wasn't going in to lose. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. See you next year. I thought the Bears, I'm not talking about Danny Football, I just thought the Bears were had a good record, but they weren't as good as they seemed. And Minnesota seemed to prove that earlier in the season. Other thing about Minnesota, too, we'll talk about, too. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, Trust in God Network. It is. New York City, a little cold day. Tomorrow it's just going to get colder. And the 10th, as we showed in our article on Sunday, George Foreman's birthday. Is Joe Frazier's and the 17th Muhammad. We'll talk about that video on Trilogy there. Always said about this theme, it's so apropos because on a day like today, I wish it was summer like. Sometimes you think back of those dog days of summer. Wow, it's too hot. Never too hot for me. Well, I'm in São Paulo, Brazil. It's a little chilly. They think winter's like 50 degrees, but it's hot. On my beloved Fortaleza, where it's always 82 to 97 every day with no humidity. Heck, though. Beaches galore. On Caxias, where it's always a little quiche. So hot, 2 or 3 showers a day. It keeps the body smelling fresh all day. Let's talk football with Danny Football, one of the foremost authorities. Pigskin is the game quite well himself at a high level. So we want to thank you for joining us on this segment. talk Wild Card Weekend. We'll talk football. You live and learn. Sports in Depth, so definitely in depth, it can turn into the world in depth. Hear things here you won't hear anyplace else. Because the best people in the world are right here on Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Listen to the Network. Any football will join us. As you know, we move into prayer first after pulling the gang. Started the Jazzettes. Greatest piece of music they ever did. It was done by anybody. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio. Trusting God. And always reading my daily word, we always open up Sports in Depth with a prayer. This is remarkable. A guy called in at the show, and he was talking about how idols, so apropos to a certain degree where people have sports idols and see the adulation. I said it was remarkable how much adulation and idolism man gives to fellow man than he does to God so often. And he was talking about that. And I remember the third and final Ollie Frazier fight, last outdoor fight, heavyweight championship fight in New York City, last outdoor heavyweight championship fight in the history of the 20th century. And a rumor had been spread that Ollie's jaw had been broken. And I remember he came down to the press conference. I always loved those press conferences, being around my friend there, good buddy Ollie, and my beloved godfather, John Condon. And Ollie said, you know, my jaw's all right. He said, and, you know, that was ridiculous. I've only done this for no best for John Condon. John Condon was the greatest PR man in the history of PR business and at Madison Square Garden. And he also was so close to Ollie that it was John. Like Miles Davis told Sugar Ray Robinson, this is it. No more fighting. And Ollie said in that, he said, you know, on the way up here, he said, there was a car accident. He says, and a couple was hurt, killed in that accident. He says, and you may see a little article about that tomorrow. But me and Kenny, we're going to be all over the pages of America. He said, you know, in America, sports is like a religion. Let's get down here and do a little prayer to where all religions should be. And John Coltrane leads us in prayer on Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you for last night laying down, this morning getting up. Clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table. Thank you for our beloved family members that are still with us. Thank you for our health. Thank you for the ability to do the things we do, from a mental state of mind. Thank you for being in America, the greatest country in the world. Thank you, the Lord. Blessings that have come, blessings that are coming, all undeserved, yet be found in your heart. So we close this prayer to the Lord, asking that you, first and foremost, that your way be our way. Moms always said, if you find anything like sin in our heart, ask and receive forgiveness until it never rises against the judgment day. The Lord, all praise and honor to you. Darling son Jesus, amen. Okay, here he is, baby. Danny Football, Crimson Tide, NFL, a whole bunch of things right here. Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Network. Doc and Danny off the Penskick.
Yes, sir.
Right here on Sports in Depth. Danny, good to have you, baby.
Yes, sir. How are you, Doc?
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure being in your company, talking football here. And, wow, yeah, let's just start with that. First of all, let's talk about up there. Now, you had another championship win up there in your territory, right? We'll talk about it a little bit for us.
We did. We finished the number 5 team in Connecticut. We won the Class S championship. Bloomfield High School, home of Dwight Freeney and Andrew Pinnock and Marcus Cooper and a number of other NFL standouts, Dwight Anderson. We actually have the most NFL players of any high school ever from Connecticut, with 8 guys that played in the NFL, and sent a bunch of kids to some major colleges and stuff like that. But got a kid up at Syracuse now who is a wide receiver. Syracuse just had their best season in 20 years, played in the Camping Bowl against West Virginia, which was a big deal for them.
Is there anybody that you want to have on the show that you can call and join us, that you think would want to join us, or you think is apropos?
I want to get some people on the show. I'm not going to be able to get anybody now, but on the next show.
Okay. So we'll set up for that. It just hit me now.
because I wanted to kind of set me and you. But if there's somebody that was around, you could jump on the phone, put them on the phone real quick if you wanted to. There's no problem. But okay, we'll do it in the future. We'll do it in the future.
Yeah, we'll definitely.
Go ahead, Danny. Continue, baby.
But we ended up beating a team in the semifinals in Sonia High School, which is the perennial 20-time state champions. They have a record for championships and have a number of players that have gone on and played for the Cincinnati Bengals and stuff like that, Raimundo Stallings. But they have been the star of the class, and we went down and beat them in their home stadium. It was their first loss at home in 12 seasons, and so it was a huge
wow.
thing. And, you know, we stormed the field. We won 23-16, and it was just an amazing, amazing deal. And Dwight Freeney wrote a letter to the team before the championship game. We played at Willowbrook Park here in New Britain, home of Tabucky Jones, former New England Patriots standout. And then we went out and beat Adam Killingworth for the championship. So it was a huge deal. Our head coach, Ty Outlaw, does a great job here at Bloomfield. You know, he really gets these kids fired up, works in the school system, and does so many great things for the, you know, community and the kids. We actually had Julian Stanford, who's on the Bills now, came and did a turkey giveaway, handed out almost 200 turkeys on Thanksgiving. We do a lot of really good things in the community, man. All of our guys give back. Dwight's giving back. Last state championship, he bought all the rings for the kids, got them all diamond studded out, and he's making a contribution again this year. So we've got, you know, Andrew Pinnock, who played for the Chargers, was a blocking back for LT Thomas in there. You know, he's always around. His son was on the championship team in 2015, and he's a running back at Central Connecticut State now. So we just have a great community here, a lot of giving back to the community, and we're just trying to build another championship team. We got 18 starters coming back. We got, actually this year, young man by the name of Javon Massey was the first freshman to make All-State in Connecticut since, how about this name, Bobby Valentine. What do you think of that?
Wow.
So,
my goodness. How do you, Bobby Valentine, always bled Dodgers.
You know,
Bobby said when he became manager of the Rangers,
player,
he had the uniforms like Dodgers. You know, I hope you had told some of the crew they could listen in. You know, if you tell them to know you're going to be on tonight, if you still want to go off and tell them they can listen in. 646-200-0373. Danny Football and the Doctor talking to Pigskin NFL and college and high school and. Wow, some special names there. Like I said, wow. You know, people kind of forget how guys back in the old – Julius Erving talked about that. He said, you know what, okay, he was a basketball player, but you played the sport of the season. And when baseball time came around, you played baseball and football time. Jabbar talked about, he jokingly in his induction into the Hall of Fame said, you know, he wanted to be a baseball player, but his pitch, his fastball wasn't that good. And they told the story of a classmate of his. His father came, when the kid came in from playing, he said, look, you know, I told you about hanging out with grown-ups. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, this guy named Lewis came around to see you, you know, and you're only in the fourth, fifth grade here. And he said, Dad, he's in my class. He's my classmate. And, you know, Ricky Henderson was an outstanding football player, but his mother didn't want him playing football. And that's why he stopped and started playing baseball. And he started stealing bases because he would come home with a clean uniform. And he said, well, are you really going to the games? It don't look like you played or nothing. So, there was a teacher, too, who would give him a little something for stealing bases, and that's how Reggie Jackson was an outstanding football player, too, who had lean. I think we all remember that it was the great Dave Winfield, who was drafted by the NFL, the AFL, the NBA, the ABA, and Major League Baseball. So football and being an all-around athlete, people forget the first four-letter man in the history of UCLA was the man whose birthday is the last day of this month, Jack Roosevelt Robinson. In fact, Jackie, it was said, was a better football player than he was a baseball player. Baseball probably has been the sport that he was least efficient in, as opposed to basketball, where he said he was the Michael Jordan below the rim, track, and baseball. He wore number 55 in college, statue in front of the stadium there out in UCLA, and he wore 28 in the pros as a football player. And we all know he wore the fable, Fable, number 42, Willie Mays number backwards, as a baseball player. But, you know, Danny, if there's anybody that you wanted to call and tell them to listen in. You know, you can jump off real quick and tell them to call in, 646-200-0373. Listen to you. It's always remarkable talking to you. You know, you learn something every day. You know, you're blessed by God to have that kind of mindset. And, you know, there's so much. You and my man Seawings are just young guys that are like old men. You know what I mean? You should be 2,000 years old for all the knowledge that you know. And high school football has always been an essential part. Now, there have been some other good baseball players, too, Danny, that were good football players, too. Can you name some more fans? Think about
Kyler Murray is one of them right now. Kyler Murray, the Oklahoma quarterback, is at, he's at Oakland A right now. This was probably his last season. But, I mean, tons of good. John Elway, they said, could have been a major pick. He was a pick. He could have been a major baseball player. Dan Marino was another one. Both unbelievable pitchers. So, a lot of guys crossed over.
Jim Brown. I believe the Yankees had drafted Jim Brown, too.
Jim Brown could have played croquet and been the best at it, man. He could have done anything. I mean, that guy was just – he's one of the greatest athletes ever. But my thing is Bobby Valentine was the first player John McKay, the legendary USC football coach, recruited.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
This side of the Mississippi. And I don't know if you knew that one, but he came to New York. Bobby was from Stamford, Connecticut, which is right near New York.
Mm-hmm.
He took the train in to meet Coach McKay, and Coach McKay gave him the spiel. And a guy by the name of O.J. Simpson had just won the Heisman Trophy and graduated, and he said, "You are the next O.J. Simpson. You're going to take your spot." And he said, "Behind my offensive line, we will have another Heisman Trophy winner. It's going to be you." But, of course, Bobby got drafted in baseball. He was a high pick and went that road. Sadly, had a bunch of injuries, but became a manager and became a fairly successful one. Took the Mets to the World Series. So, of course, and he was a character in his own right, and he's a legendary baseball guy. So, and
yeah,
got
and
Bobby,
you know, it seems that there's something to that wave of Dodger managers with their order, as you say, they become legendary due to their charismatic type of personalities. After him, we had Lasorda, and then.
Yep.
Two guys who were more on the low-key side, you know, Joe Torre, the former National League MVP and batting champion and manager of the Yankees, and I think the greatest first baseman I saw play in, day out, Don Mattingly. Yeah, I'm a little taken back that Don's not in the Hall of Fame, but I'm assured that the Veterans Committee will eventually get him in. You know, I look at my year, there's only two first basemen. Well, yeah, you know, Keith Hernandez was another elite one. But, you know, it's Don Mattingly and Eddie Murray. Yeah, and Donnie was the guy. Wow, you just hate the injuries. I remember being at an affair with him and Billy Williams, and they were talking, and Billy asked him how things were going. He said, "Yeah," he said, "but, you know, every now and then you kind of got to go for that outside pitch to get that run in." And Rick Anderson talked about in his book, he said, "Donnie Mattingly never left me on third base." He said, "I used to tell Jose, you can't leave me on third base. When I get in, get on, and I still second, get the third. You can't." He said Don Mattingly never left him on third base. People forget Donnie came into the major league as a left fielder. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, and Trust and Guardian Network. It's Doc and Danny Football talking about the pigskin, NFL, college, and high school. And that's a bit of information a lot of people didn't know what a tremendous athlete that Bobby was. And that's something nice to know, too, because you know, like when I can bump in him, and we talk a little bit. I always liked Bobby, too. He always was there receptive to the media and chatting about stuff. And that'd be a little something to know, you know. And they you know, athletes, I always like that extra something about them because they like that when you know more about them than just in one special invocation. You know, Eddie Murray, me and Eddie Murray, our friendship started. We started talking boxing. I met Eddie, I saw Eddie, but we started talking June 26th. 1988, and the reason why I know that because besides being my grandfather's birthday, later be Jerry Jesus, the next day was Michael Spinks, Mike Tyson, Atlantic City. And I remember asking him who he liked in that fight, and we haven't stopped talking then. Eddie's one of the few guys that really knows the sweet science. Him, Charles Barkley's another guy that knows boxing quite well. And you're talking about Dodger managers. I was thinking somebody online, they've got to finally give that job to Dusty Baker. He'll fit that charismatic, genius type of mentality that both Lasorda and Bobby Valentine brought to L.A., and he wore number 12. The Dusty wore number 12 because his favorite player was a guy from Brooklyn who was also an outstanding basketball player. People thought he went the wrong way instead of going baseball, the great Tommy Davis, back-to-back National League batting champion, played for the Mets, too, for a while, too, great Dodger and great high school basketball player.
I'll give you one, Bo Jackson. Was he good at baseball and football, Doc?
Yeah, Danny, he could play a little. You know, he had a little something-something to him. But, you know, it's ironic. Had a little something-something to him, Danny. You know, it's like I said, if there's anybody that you wanted to go offline and tell them to call him, listen, I'll let you hop off and come back on. But if not, we'll keep going. We're looking at is there a problem, Danny, now with the reports and validation of the head injuries in football? Are parents shying their kids away from football now, or is still all go?
I think you're seeing a lot of both. I think that football is always going to have its place.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you might see more football players coming from kids that maybe need it more to get an education.
Wow, tremendous point. Tremendous point, Danny. Yeah, you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? You hear things in that you don't hear anyplace else. Tremendous point, Danny. Go ahead, Danny. Wow.
Well, I mean, football is I grew up playing the game, so, and I've got such a love for the game, so nobody's going to convince me that it's, you know, I've seen it change and influence so many kids' lives, and forget the guys that go to the NFL and everything else, but just the guys that have gone on and gotten out of Hartford, Connecticut, gotten out of Buffalo, New York, gotten out of, and went on and got a degree and opened a business and worked for a huge Fortune 500 company now, all that stuff. So football's got its place. I think parents, it goes both ways. You know, I had an uncle that was a star football player at the University of Rhode Island and took a lot of punishment, had a lot of injuries, a lot of head injuries, and he actually ended up committing suicide, taking his own life.
Wow.
So
it
was before this was such a big, there was so much knowledge about it. So I don't think that, you know, we didn't get him tested for it or any of that. But he definitely showed some signs. I think what it is thankfully today we've got so much more knowledge. When a kid get, like, he had stories of when he'd be knocked out in a game and he'd go in a couple plays later, go back into
mm-hmm.
the game.
Right. So the point you bring out is big. There are more precautions, more acknowledgement, and, you know, everybody that plays.
Doc, I lost you. Can you hear me?
Oh,
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good doctor.
Yeah, and we're going to apologize for a little technical difficulties. Danny Football is back. And your point we were talking about, Danny, that your people, you know, everybody's not going to make the pros. But, you know, and you talk about the love of football for athletes. I remember Mark Breland, who became the greatest amateur fighter in boxing history, Gold Glove champion, the greatest Gold Glove of all time, and gold medal winner, one of the elite fighters of his generation, of his time. And he said, all I wanted to do was be a high school quarterback at Brooklyn Tech. You know,
right.
So he had a big love for football. What is it about football that attracts this kind of adulation, Danny, in your mindset?
I think it's the camaraderie amongst your teammates, being up against it in the fourth quarter. And I think another thing is, You get such a camaraderie because in football you've got to work so much for so little. And I think that's why I'm so attracted to boxing, because it's the same type of thing. You've got to work. Football, you play in high school 10 to 12 regular season games, maybe 3 to 5 playoff games. If you're in Texas, they play the most. If you win the championship, you play 16 games. Connecticut, we play 13. Other states, it's between, 12 and 16. Basketball, regular season high school is 20 games. College is 30-something. NBA is 80-something games. So in football, baseball, it's hundreds of games. I think when you only have so many few contests, some teams you might only play them once every year. Imagine that. So if you lose, you got to eat that all year long. You got to think about that loss in your mind. You know what I mean? And I think you've got to work so hard to get that 1 yard. You take 2-3 losses in football, you're out of the national championship race. You're out of the playoffs in a lot of states. You lose 3-4 in a row in basketball. We had a bad week. We'll be back next week. You know what I mean? And that's not knocking any sport, Doc. That's just the way football players feel. And when in the off season comes and you're grinding in that weight room and you're suffering and you're sweating together and you're in the summer, afternoons running that last hill, running those sprints together. There's a camaraderie amongst football, especially when you go to the deep south where football is just, Allen, Texas has 20,000 seat stadium for a high school team. You know what I mean? Football down there is so big. They're packing as many people in to see a Friday night high school game as they are in Madison Square Garden,
Wow.
So
right.
Football is gotten bigger in a lot of respects. The contracts guys are getting in the NFL, it's astronomical now. With Aaron Donald and Mac with the Bears getting over $140 million. The quarterback contracts are getting crazy. Football players are going to be getting $200 million contracts pretty soon. Football is growing, So I think still we got to, in the NFL level, they got to go to a bigger roster. They got to allow more players to be on the team to give guys more opportunities. I think it'll lessen injuries. I think they should expand the cap a little bit, allow some more guys on. And I think it'll keep some teams together longer. But, you're going to see parents that don't want their kid playing football, Doc, but you're going to still see, especially the farther you go south, more and more people trying to play football because it's such a way of life. It gives so many kids an opportunity to go to college. And that's a lot of what we've done here at Bloomfield, giving a lot of kids opportunities to go on to college. And a lot of those kids, and we've had kids go to Yale and Columbia and get degrees and now are working, in the major job force. So football does so much. It gives so many kids an education. And I think football also, too, gets kids ready for life.
Yeah, it's an avenue to an avenue, we may say. It's
exactly.
An avenue to an avenue, you
yes.
know, and a lot of people don't understand that it's you know, because, you know, you look at, they talk about how many who don't make the pros, but how much is productive for them making a good inroad in life.
Doc, a good friend of mine went to a small school, Amherst College, right here in Amherst, Massachusetts, Division III. He's actually was also drafted by the Atlanta Braves in the sixth round, had a short minor league career, and then went back to football. Took the academic route, had some D1 schools that wanted him for football, but took the academic route. Met a gentleman at a alumni dinner. Met a gentleman at an alumni dinner that that gave him his business card. He went and had dinner with this gentleman, and the guy gave him a major job out of college, and now he's a multi-millionaire, and he's in his early 30s. So those types of, like, you go to Yale, Harvard, and the alumni that have gone to those schools – and you've played at those schools, a lot of people don't realize how much those schools give back to you outside of football and how important
become,
you know,
another family to an outside family.
That's right. It's there's so much to it, Doc, and unless you played or you've been in kind of that field, not a lot of people outside of it know, you know. Guys like yourself, yes, but a lot of others know, you know?
Well, we're going to go talking about high school. We talked earlier. Crimson Tide, once again, rolled through Alabama the way Sherman went to Atlanta last night.
Clemson? Doc, can you hear me?
Yeah. I said Clemson last night. They went through Alabama the way Sherman went through Atlanta.
You know, I think again, you're seeing a football team that's got a lot of the top guys in the country going there. You're seeing a football team that's bringing in top talent. They've got top coaching. You know, Debo Swinney's doing a heck of a job there in Clemson. He's got really good offensive coordinators. They've got the facilities, the weight room, the stadium, the fan base, the boosters behind them. And they really coached up a good team. I mean, you've got to look at the amount of NFL players, the future NFL players that were on the field last night. And, okay, so you look at Alabama, they've got a ton of them. But the thing that's amazing was how Clemson was able to run the ball on you know, a very strong defensive front for Alabama.
Yeah.
That, to me, was the most surprising part of the game. The way that they were able, you know, I knew they'd make some plays in the air. They'd throw the ball around. Their young quarterback's great. But the way he ran the ball, the way they were able to punish Alabama's front line and linebackers was, to me, the most impressive part of the game because nobody really does that. I mean, some teams have tried, but you know, you look at Oklahoma was just decimated by the punishment that they were getting handed to by Alabama the previous week. And Oklahoma's defense is not terrific. They have an elite offense. Their defense is not great. But when you look at the way Clemson just play in and play out, was dishing out punishment, it's you know, it's a testament to their belief, their confidence, their training. Their off-season program, because they've got some strong guys on that line, and they've got athletes that can play with Alabama and obviously play better than us.
Well, it proved that way last night, also becoming the first ever 15-0 collegiate team in college football history, too, last night.
Yeah, so teams, people were saying, you know, they're the best team ever. You know, it's tough. Over the years, some of the old Alabama teams were great. You know, Nebraska in the 90s had three teams that were just unbelievable. The way that they would run option football, nobody's ever done that. Oklahoma had those 80s teams. They were also, you know, Jamel Holloway and those guys. So, and then, of course, the Miami Hurricanes had some serious, loaded NFL talent from the Ray Lewis, Warren Sapp days up to Ed Reed and Bryant McKinney and Shockey and all of those guys. McGahee and them. So it's tough to say that they're the best college team ever, but they're definitely in the talks of one of the best. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. They're there. They're there. The best ever. You're right. It's kind of, you know, there's a lot of talk about maybe Bama with the consistency. But you know, I think this too. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network. It's Doc and Danny Football talking to Pitskin. I think this too shows that for a long time, the last few years, it was the mindset that nobody else had a good football team. Nobody else was coaching with any kind of success. It all was Bama, Bama, Bama. Last night, said, hey, man, there are other teams, there are other elite teams, there are other elite coaches, there are other elite players, not only in the SEC.
That's right. The ACC definitely has them. And, you know, the ACC takes, you know, I guess a lot of people put them second. But, you know, they've got some top teams. When you look at them, you know, you got Clemson. Obviously, he's the elite of the elite right now in college football. But, you know, the conference is getting a lot stronger. You know, you're seeing teams like Pittsburgh, seeing teams like University of Virginia has gotten a lot stronger over the last couple of years. Virginia Tech was down a little bit this year, but they're very strong year in and year out. So although the SEC is still probably the best, it's not a huge, huge difference between the top of the, you know, the top two, you know what I mean? And I definitely think that they're the top two. You know, you get LSU and some others, yes. You know, I mean, I think LSU's always a couple plays away from being, if it wasn't for Alabama, they'd probably be in the playoff every year. You got Georgia. But after that.
Dr. Ellis, what's that block? You know, that Trust and Guard Network. We tell you a salute to Crimson Tide. Go up there in that great football team that Danny's talking about up there in his area. And, Danny, you also show, too, that this is not just showing the ability of other players, the intellect of other coaches, the ability and skill of other conferences, but it shows, too, like you said, the recruiting. And we talked about this earlier. It just seems that Michigan, their coach, maybe just has well, it wasn't so much we talked about the aspect of getting in recruits, but we talked about, I touched on the fact that, you know, a lot of kids probably don't want to play in cold weather.
Well, I think what it comes down to is when you're getting kids that have the opportunity to play at, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, second half of the year is obviously colder weather. Are you going to go to the University of Miami? Are you going to go to Florida, Florida State? Clemson's down in Carolina. So, I mean, the old school football, you know, Notre Dame. But I think you're going to see more and more and more of the USC's, the teams that have been kind of in that type of climate range are going to be, you know, more and more with their recruiting, and it's just going to be tough. You saw it with Clemson when they played Notre Dame a couple weeks ago. I mean, you just saw a tough, strong team in Notre Dame with some talented kids, you know, that could run and play up against a bigger, faster, nastier, more talented team that was just steamrolling them. You know what I mean? I mean, it just—I mean, just the size. you look at Notre Dame and they've got two or three strong defensive linemen, and Clemson's got seven of them. You know what I mean? And Clemson's second guy in. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, and then the next guy in on Clemson would start on Notre Dame. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, no matter how good of a coach you are, players win games. You know what I mean? So yeah, they have good coaching, but they've got great players. Great coaching and great players.
And great weather. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, with the knowledgeable, the all-knowing Danny Football here. Danny, get away from that. We looked at the wild card weekend, and wow, I mean, big game for the Cowboys, winning at home, even though they were favored. Well, they weren't the favorites, but I said, and we talked about this, and I love going up football with you. You know, this season turned around when they – I remember when they were playing the Eagles. They were in the red zone four times. They had only 9 points. And I've always said, you know, when you come away with a field goal, psychologically the defense has won, okay? And I'm thinking that they're down there four times. They got 9 points. They just had 28 points. And it kept the football game close. They came back, won the game in overtime, big win to win the game. They should have won two to win the game in overtime, then to beat the world champions. Then they come back, Danny, and they hold Drew Brees, who was scoring 10 points a quarter, to 10 points for the whole game. They win that game, and this game Sunday against a Seattle is more of a defensive maven nowadays than they are offensively, and to win that game, I think they're one of the teams you got to look out for. And man, can we not be aware of the Colts?
Well, I think one thing, Prescott is showing that he can make plays in serious situations. He's showing he's a playoff guy. I think he's an elite quarterback, regardless of what people say. I think he, you know, you got him a good receiver. You got him a couple of guys he can get the ball to now. I think you're starting to see he can make plays with his legs. He can make plays with his arm. They got Ezekiel Elliott. They've got guys that can make plays.
To go back to that, Danny, and we got to take our hats off to Garrett. They seem to finally implement that into their offense. And and we're going to talk to you later about Jackson, which has been the big key down there at Baltimore. But they this sometime this year they said, hey, you know what? Run the football. Know what? Be a little more versatile. I guess we have to take our hats off to them for finally realizing that, and more importantly, Danny, for finally doing it.
Well, it comes down to part of good coaching is recognizing what you got and being able to utilize it to its most. So, you know, I remember watching Dak Prescott at Mississippi State, and I was just so impressed with him. You know, it's always one of the hardest things to judge is, you know, how a player is going to go from being a college player to a pro player, because it's different. The game's faster, players are bigger, they're better, they're smarter. But we've definitely taken some steps. And the game of football alone has just changed so much. They're taking steps into a totally different. With these read option runs, and I think it's just so much more exciting.
Danny, is that the key to? And I remember, I'll never forget the late great Giant coach Ali Sherman. It was Jerry Rice's first year in the league. Dan Marino's first year in the league. In fact, he was going to the Super Bowl. In fact, I had that great picture of me and Dan. I don't know what happened to that darn picture, but. And Ali Sherman, I remember Coach Sherman, he was leaving, and I went down to shout at him for something. We chatted for a minute. He said, you know, Jerry Rice, he said, was going to be great because he understood the pace of the game. And I think that's a big adjustment that a lot of guys can't make or do make, slowly make, Danny, in making the adjustment from the speed and the talent from college and pro football, Danny.
Well, and that's what it is. A lot of guys get there, and the, you know, they thought they were playing on a fast level in college, and they get to the pros, and, you know, the play that you did make, you can't make. And it's not one play. That one play becomes 20 plays in a row you couldn't make. And you find out that you're not the player you thought you were. So the adjustment, you know, in these schemes, you know, in college you got school and you got other things. In the pros, that's what you're doing. You're a pro. So you're working on football all the time. That's your job. So you got time to work on it, but are you going to work on it and get that much better than the next guy? Is it going to be something that you put that much more into? You know, it's one of these things where I've seen guys that I thought were going to be great pro players not be so good. And I saw guys that were, I'm like, I don't see why he's being drafted so high or whatever. Or guys that weren't even drafted high, nobody thought was going to be good. Like Tom Brady. Who would ever thought Tom Brady would be the player he is, you know? So It's a unique thing, man. It's so unique. It's so hard to judge these. You know, people are saying, the Giants should get this quarterback or that quarterback. Well, it's hard to say because to try to draft a franchise quarterback has got to be one of the hardest things to do in sports. You look at all the first-round, second-round quarterback choices and how many of them have actually turned out to be a star quarterback. It's few and far between.
Yeah, well, I think right now that's become in the last two years, it's become a terminology that they use. And a lot of that has to be, sadly enough, in the words of Howard Weston said, it's the press. You know, the press has this tremendous ability to interject words, to make statements. One of the things that I've always looked at and laughed at and showed both the lack of intellect and their need to feel somewhat of worthy of a ugly win. I mean, I just can't ever fathom an ugly win. It just gets beyond me that how can you have an ugly win? You know, it's offensive. And the same thing of the terminology of a cancer in the clubhouse. I mean, where do these terms come from? I mean, you're telling me that I don't like Joe Johnson so good over there that I'm going to strike out just to fuck Joe Johnson. Or you know what? I'm not going to block the way I should, even though I'm an all-pro, because I don't like these terms just be – it doesn't – being in the business, it doesn't befuddle me anymore. At one time I could have been, if I look back, coming from by the grace of God, where all great things come from, the guys that in the business – who birthed me, who aided me, who taught me, Hal Jackson, Art Rush Jr., Frank Bannister, Phil Pepe, Vic Siegel, Dick Young. So all those guys, those are the guys that were around, John Condon. So I learned from those guys. I saw those guys. So I can understand my mindset. And at the same time, I can understand these new guys' mindset, you know, great writers like Peter Vesey from the old days. So I understand somewhat their inability to really use their ability. And then as I was told, too, by another one of the great ones, the late Bill Shannon, how in the old days, you know, a guy was in sports that always was in sports. He was a copy boy in sports. He didn't come from the news beat where he – did the restaurant for a while, or he did the city beats. It was all sports. And nowadays, as they say, you know, it's me and you covering the team, as opposed to back in the day, you had one guy covering the team. So now you're going to do the game story. I got to find another story. So they're always digging for certain things. But at the same time, Danny, I've heard guys tell me that as far as the New York press, they don't want to come to New York. Terry Pillen told me he took $500,000 less to go to Atlanta than to come to New York. When two guys like Don Mattingly and Dave Righetti, two of the greatest Yankees of all time, two of the greatest human beings ever walked the earth, and they say the New York press is always finding a sophomore side. You know, Danny has hit 10 home runs his last four games, but you know, seven have been solo shots. Or Doc's hitting .472, but he's only hitting .306 runners in scoring position. So I kind of understand somewhat, you know, it's like I do and I don't. But there's some terminologies, and like I said, this franchise quarterback, and like you said, as if you could just look and tell by a draft. Like you said, who thought that Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady? Who thought that Johnny Unitas was going to be Johnny Unitas? You know, Jim Brown got a scholarship to Syracuse on, it wasn't the football, it was lacrosse. So this hindsight is a fallacy, Danny.
Well, again, one of the hardest things to do in sports, find that primetime quarterback, man. I mean, think about the ones that have been chosen and then the ones that come out of nowhere and do so well. So, and it's in a lot of positions, but quarterback, you know, it's just so hard to get to the elite level in the NFL without a borderline or an elite quarterback. You got to have a guy.
Yeah, and can I say here, Danny, too, that the difference between a quarterback and a leader, and when you have that combination of both, then, you know, because you it's there. But, you know, not every quarterback is a leader, and not every leader of a team is a quarterback.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. So,
Danny, looking at that now.
I got to go pick up my wife at work. But let's do
okay,
this.
Real quickly, can we talk about the special defense that was designed for Jackson by the Chargers real quickly?
So a unique thing that I've never seen before in the NFL level, three safeties were used to slow down Lamar Jackson's running abilities. They put all defensive backs on the field, including three safeties. And, you know, it's something unique. We wonder if people are going to go to it maybe next year and try to slow him down. I think you'll see an H-back and a fullback on the field in front of him and a running back, and I think you'll see power formations, and then people will be forced to go back to regular defense, and then he'll start running again. So I don't think that you can. I think they got caught off that guard in that game, caught off guard. I think it was a great plan for one game where now the Ravens don't have time to go and prepare for what you're doing. It's tough to make an adjustment on the run because they'd have to change kind of their blocking assignments halfway through. But I think it's something that teams may try to do, but I think it'll only last so long. I think Lamar will have success. He's got to work on some stuff. He's got to work on his accuracy a little bit. His decision-making was pretty good. He threw away the ball when you know, he was in some tough spots, which was good. He had a Crabtree wide open for a touchdown early in the game and didn't hit that. So there's some things he's got to work on, but I think he'll be there.
Yeah, you need to. Danny Football, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you during the weekend. Danny Football, Doc and Danny, talking to Pigskin High School, College, and Football. Danny Football, once again, with you, baby, it's always a touchdown. Sponsored by Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. A little music for you. Danny's got to go. We're going to leave, but a little music before we go. Danny, thanks a lot, baby. Talk to you over the weekend.
Okay, Doc. Talk to you soon. Okay, Doc.
Danny Football, you know, that's it. And you hear things here on Sports in Depth. You don't hear any place. And it shows, see, because two others, I am somebody. You know, if you got to have somebody to throw the ball to. You got to have somebody hand the ball up that can run. You got to have the defense. And I was talking about that yesterday, Sunday show, about a pitcher. As great as a pitcher is, he is so dependent on everybody else. Somebody's got to score to run, somebody to catch the ball. And you hear things here on Sports in Depth, you know, any place. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, has anybody else, did anybody even pick up that defense? I mean, outside of probably the announcers, did anybody else ever realize what they were doing? And in wake of all that, you know, Ravens, if they get the right call and that fumble, they still win their football game. If the field goal kicker makes his field goal, they don't need a touchdown, they tie the game. But just these little things that just keep coming up. Harold Weston told you years ago that the idea that, you know, they banned the rule of throwing in the towel. You can't throw in the towel in New York State. You can't throw the towel in. You know what I mean? So you can't. But they also implemented again due to the Benitez family, where at one time a father could not work ringside with his son. But they changed that for the Benitez family. It was advantageous to the Weston family. It was advantageous to the Howard family. As Howard Davis, Howard Weston had his dad in the corner. Also, we had, as we talked about, Benitez had his dad in the corner. So you hear things here that you don't hear anyplace else, which makes Sports in Depth the place you should be. Doc Danny, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, and Trust in God. Never, I played that Christmas song because we said, wow, Christmas is gone. We were looking at Christmas coming, and Christmas is gone. But Smokey Robinson sings a song, you know, get your love, it's Christmas every day. And it is. Put a little music for you. Hope you enjoyed this segment. Hoping that Jump Shot Jonesy and Bobby Miles could join us. But Dr. Danny Football talking to Pigskin this weekend, and the Kansas City Chiefs will host the Indianapolis Colts. The Rams will host the Cowboys, my brother's team. How about them Cowboys? The Patriots will be hosting the Chargers, and they are happy they got their tight end back, so they're going to be a little stronger than what they have been for some time during the course of the year. And the other game, we're going to find that the Eagles, the world champion Eagles, still the champs. Champs are still there, baby, still there. They're going to New Orleans, and New Orleans hasn't been the same team they were that first six, seven games of the season as the Rams have not been the same team they were the six, seven games of the season. You know, after the Rams lost, they were a whole different football team. Whole different football team. You want to talk to the doc before we rook? 646-200-0373. 646-200-0373. I like the Cowboys beating the Rams, and I like the Eagles over the Saints, which means we'll wind up with the Eagles at another shot of going back to the Super Bowl. Hey, that's just the way I feel about it, and we'll get a chance to see if things materialize. If the Chargers beat the Patriots, which they have a good chance, I think offensively they were better suited to cause problems for the Patriots. But then again, with Danny Football telling us about that defensive setup, but then Belichick would have made the adjustments too somewhat. But I think either one of those teams would have caused problems for New England. New England is good to have this game played in New England, and that week off at this time of the season, no question about that. But if the Chargers would win that game, Kansas City would beat the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl without question. The Patriots and Kansas City is a good football game. I was still depending how well Kansas City does. Now, if the Colts get in the mix, somehow I think the Colts, whoever wins that Colts-Kansas City game, I feel can beat the winner of the Patriots-Chargers game. But we'll see. Got to play the games. Dr. Danny, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, Trust and Thrive Network. A little music for you as we continue here, and then we're going to close out the show. Doc and Danny Football talking to Pigskin. And a lot of people, I remember they played this on a record, on a CD by Jackie Robinson. So let's do it as we move toward this month. You know, it's Jackie Robinson's birthday, Dr. King's birthday, Fighters Wise, man, all champions born this month. Muhammad Ali the 17th, Buddy McGirt the 17th, Roy Jones Jr. the 16th, Bernard Hopkins the 15th, Joe Frazier the 12th, George Foreman the 10th. Foreman, Frazier, Ali, heavyweight champions, Buddy McGirt, welterweight champion, Roy Jones Jr., junior lightweight, middleweight and heavyweight champion also. Forgot about that part. And Bernard Hopkins, light heavyweight champion too. Wow. Okay, a little music for you. Doc said he's supposed to be a Block Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network. Maybe I'll get this one too, the Neville Brothers. Get that for you in there. We're meant to play this for you. I'm back for it as we have moved to a Black History Month. Old was a part. Aaron Neville, his brothers. The Neville Brothers. To Rosa. Came alive. And because of Sister Rose, you know, we don't ride on the back of the bus no more. Sister Rose, she was tired one day after a hard day on her job, when all she wanted was a well-deserved rest, not a scene from an angry mob. A bus driver said, baby, you got to get up, cause a white person wants that seat. But Miss Rose, she said, no, not no more. I'm gonna stay right here and rest my feet. Thank you, Sister Rosa. You are the spark that started our freedom movement. Thank you, Sister Rosa Parks. You tell me who sang this song. Well, the answer, I got a gift for you. 646-273.
Bear a strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black body swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree.
Doc Stanley, Sports at Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guardian Network, a football segment. Doc and Danny Football, the Pigskin, high school, college, and NFL. Marvin Gaye has this to say before on our way, and as I told you that, a song I first heard a few years ago, and you'd have to be somebody a little historically on the money, somebody into to jazz, female singer. She was the second great superstar female singer who was the idol of Frank Sinatra. The picture that we have in the collage is, well, I'll give you time to call. Make the call. If not, I'll give you the answer. 646-300-0373, 646-300-0373. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, Block Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. Wild Card Weekend, Ravens lose to the Chargers. The Fishers had a lot to do with that. Colts rough up the Texans. Cowboys, how about them Cowboys? My brother James's team. They beat Seattle at home. That's a home victory. And the Chargers and the Colts were road victories. And the the Eagles won on the road Sunday. I'm sorry. Okay, the Eagles won on Sunday. Okay, that's okay. Let's go back Saturday. Saturday, two road teams that won were the Colts at Texas, and you had Cowboys beating Seattle. They were at home. And you had the other game.
Texas loses at home to the Colts, and the Cowboys win at home over Seattle. Perfect man. Sunday, Eagles road winners at Chicago, and the Chargers road winners the Ravens. Man, teams on the road. A lot of times I've been told teams on the road are a lot more focused than they are at home. Jesse Barfield told me that sometimes on the road, because, you know, it's you and the other guys now. You know, you're not worried about getting tickets for the family. You know, the kids are not in the locker room. Okay, your agent, you're not talking with your agent. It's just you and the team. So, know what? So, tonight I'm not having dinner with the wife and the kids and having dinner with the shortstop and the center fielder or the left tackle and the halfback. You kind of bind, a little more focus, a little more togetherness. That can be advantageous. It depends on the team you're playing and the opponent you're facing. But it's a plus, regardless. It's a plus. Yeah. Other things, Alabama lost. Crimson Tide beat them. Hottest team in football are the Colts. Wow. Hottest team in basketball are the Nets. Knicks are, wow. Knicks and the Rangers are both losing redundantly and repugnantly by big scores. Islanders tonight looking for their seventh win in a row. First time in 29 years if they win tonight. They win seven games in a row. And you know that was way back when they were the cream of the crop in pro hockey, and they were still back at the old Nassau Coliseum. Wow. Some days. LeBron James still out, so that's been a detriment to the Lakers. But look at the scoring, though. I mean, Harden, the only guy with a triple-double with 50 points. Two or three times he's done that already. But he's the leading scorer, but both Curry and Durant are averaging 28 points a game. That's who the play tonight, too. So I guess we can just count another loss there. Kobe Bryant, wow, look at a picture of me and Kobe here. Kobe, the only player to end his last game with 60 points. Wow, great player. Jerry West said Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time. Yeah, greatest Laker of all time. 20 years with the Lakers. And I was there that night in the draft. Allen Iverson was the number one pick in the draft. Somebody take a great picture of me and Allen. They must have thought it was friendly. It must have been both from Virginia. And I remember Kobe was drafted by Charlotte and traded to the Lakers. To the Lakers. And he said he always was a Laker fan. And I've always been a fan of this man here who always closes our song, our show. And remember getting to see him perform live, too, at the Nassau Coliseum. Yep. There's great shows at the Nassau Coliseum. I saw the first show, Earth, Wind, and Fire, with War opening up for them. Then I went back, Marvin Gaye. Marvin was followed by a show by Stevie Wonder. The last show I saw there was opening, was the OJs. Money, 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 money. Money. Followed by Last Night and the Pips. Midnight Train to Georgia. Third act was Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, Teddy Pendergrass. He's a bit of drummer. And Aaron Tate. Hope that we can get together real soon. And the show closed out. I didn't really realize they were from Cincinnati originally. But the Isley Brothers. Yeah. Robin Gay has this to say before we go on our way here on this football edition of Sports in Depth. Mr. Gay, please.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, to save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good doctor.
We get ready to take it away too, Ronnie. Goes out here. Some Doc is in today. Right? Excuse is not a reason. First approval must come from God. Anything else is both secondary and unimportant. Tell you what you don't need to know and what they don't know. Finally, both realizing it and doing it. Being a fan of all sports doesn't mean you are knowledgeable. An avenue to an avenue. Let's close the show with these three books. Dr. King. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. King. Muhammad Ali, his birthday is 2 days after Dr. King. Service to others is what you pay for your room here on earth. How many? Raise right field ever. I am my brother's keeper. Stella. Brothers come and all. Another king. Forgiveness is not a casual act,
a permanent state of mind. The king again. The pleasure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience. Now leave.
And I was just a
Ralph Waldo Emerson. Billy? Giannis?
And I just
got any sports with that Power Talk Radio? Garbage Network. Out of my heart. Joe.
And had nothing to show. They all saw me running and said, there he goes.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe, could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.